Lighting and sound get all the scrutiny because the numbers are big and the kit is intimidating. Wardrobe and makeup just slip straight through. They feel small. A few costumes, a makeup box, surely a couple of $100s. Then the term ends and you've somehow spent more on wardrobe than you did on the set. And nobody can quite say where it went. I'll tell you where it went. It went into alterations and maintenance, into the part of the costume bill nobody quotes you up front. So here's the single most important sentence in this whole module. If you take nothing else, take this. A costume almost always costs more to fit and maintain than it cost to acquire. Budget for the alterations, not the garment, and you will never be ambushed again. On a typical school musical, wardrobe and makeup land in the top three production cost centers, right alongside the set and the lighting and sound hire. It rarely looks that way on the first budget draft because the line everyone writes is costumes with a single number next to it. Usually the cost of getting the garments in the door, and that number is the smallest part of the bill. The real wardrobe cost is a stack of things that don't appear on any quote. First, alterations. Almost nothing fits a teenager off the rack or out of the hire bag. Hems, takes in, lets out, straps, waistbands. This is the biggest hidden line, and it scales with cast size. Second, maintenance across the run. Sweat, makeup transfer, food and drink in the show, popped seams, lost buttons, laundry between shows. A garment worn 8 times by a 16-year-old needs attention after most of them. Third, return condition on hires, damage charges, dry cleaning fees, missing item charges. A hired costume returned with a torn hem can cost you more in penalties than the hire itself. And fourth, consumables. Thread, elastic, hem tape, safety pins, dress shields, the makeup that runs out in week one. Small per item, but relentless in aggregate. None of that is exotic. It's just the predictable, boring reality of putting clothes on 30 kids for a week. The schools that get ambushed are the ones that budgeted the garment and forgot everything that happens to it afterwards. When a budget says costumes, you picture a hanger with one thing on it. The reality is that one costume is usually about 6 separate pieces, say a shirt, trousers, jacket, hat, shoes, and a couple of accessories. Every one of those has to be bought, sourced, made or hired, then fitted, tracked, and maintained. And most performers don't wear one look. A principal might have 3 or more costume changes across the show. So do that maths for a cast of 30. 30 performers times 3 costumes times about 6 pieces is well over 500 individual items to source and keep show ready, each one a small job. Collectively, the whole reason wardrobe is a top 3 cost center. And this is exactly why you do 2 things. 1, you decide make, hire, or buy per piece, not per costume. And 2, you catalogue what the school already owns, so you're not resourcing hundreds of items from zero every single year. Every costume on your show arrives by one of 3 routes. And the whole art of a sane wardrobe budget is matching the route to the garment. Get it wrong, hiring what you could have op-shopped or making what you should have hired, and the budget doubles for no visible gain on stage. Route 1 is make, a volunteer sewing team building costumes from patterns and fabric. The labor is free, or near enough, which is why it looks unbeatable on paper. But it is not actually free, and pretending it is will burn out your volunteers and blow your timeline. Making wins for chorus and ensemble in matching or themed costumes where you need many of the same thing, and for period shows where hiring 30 matching period pieces is eye-watering. It's cheapest per unit at volume. The real cost is fabric and notions, roughly $25 to $80 per simple garment, more for period work, plus a wardrobe coordinator to run the team. That coordinator is the single most important non-negotiable. A sewing team without one is just a pile of half-finished costumes the week before opening, and the trap is treating volunteer hours as zero. They're not zero. They're finite. They burn out, and they need lead time. Start early or don't start. Route 2 is hire. Renting finished costumes from a professional costume house per show or per season. It's the fast route to a polished, period-correct look without a sewing team. Hiring wins for one-off period or character leads where buying or making is uneconomic. The Fagin coat, the Tevye kit, the principal's ball gown, a handful of statement pieces, hired, beats building them. Rough cost is $40 to $120 per costume per season for ensemble pieces, and $120 to $300 or more for elaborate principal or period costumes. A full cast hire for a period musical runs into the thousands fast. And the catches that aren't in the headline price, sizing risk because you're hiring blind from a size chart for a teenager between sizes, limited alteration rights because many houses forbid cutting or permanent alteration. You can pin and tack, not hem, and damage charges on return. Read the hire agreement before you sign, not after the show. Route 3 is buy, sourcing real clothes from op shops, charity stores, and budget retailers. For any modern or contemporary set show, this is frequently the cheapest route of the three, and it gives you garments you can alter freely and keep. Buying wins for modern and contemporary shows where the costume is real clothing. School uniforms, 80s and 90s pieces, everyday wear, business attire. An op shop run can dress a contemporary chorus for the price of two hires. Rough cost is $5 to $25 per op shop garment, $15 to $50 for fast fashion. You own it, alter it, dye it, distress it, and it goes into the school's stock for next year. Where it loses is period and fantasy. You will not op shop a credible 1890s frock coat. For those, you make or hire. So the route decision in one line. Many of the same thing, make it. A few statement period or character pieces, hire them. Modern everyday clothing, buy it. And most school shows use all three at once. Op shop the contemporary chorus, make the matching ensemble, hire the two or three principals whose look has to land. This is the section the costume hire quote never includes and the budget draft always forgets. Whichever route a garment arrives by, it then needs to fit a specific body and survive a run of shows. And those two things, summed across a cast, routinely cost more than acquiring the costumes did in the first place. So say it again, because it's the whole module. The alteration usually costs more than the item. A $15 op shop blazer needs taking in, sleeves shortening, buttons moving. That's an hour of skilled sewing. A hired ball gown needs the hem pinned and the bodice tacked for a performer it was never cut for. Across 30 cast members, alterations are a labor mountain. If you're paying for it, $30 to $80 of alteration work on a $20 to $120 garment is completely normal. If a parent team is doing it, that's dozens of volunteer hours. Real hours, with a real deadline. And maintenance is nightly, not once. A costume is not done when it fits. It then gets worn, sweated into, eaten in, danced in, and torn for every performance of the run. So plan for laundry and freshening between shows because of sweat and makeup transfer. Some pieces wash, some need spot cleaning or airing. Plan for running repairs too. Popped seams, lost buttons, broken zips, ripped hems. There must be someone with a needle, thread, and a hot glue gun at every single show. And plan for consumables replenishment, dress shields, hem tape, safety pins, spare buttons. They run out mid-run if you bought enough for one show. On hires, watch the return condition. Hired costumes go back clean and undamaged, or you pay. Damage charges, mandatory professional dry cleaning fees, and lost item penalties can quietly equal the hire fee. Two defenses. Photograph everything on arrival so you're not charged for pre-existing damage, and assign one person to check, clean, and pack the return. A costume sent back in a bin bag is a damage charge waiting to happen. So the mistake that costs the most is budgeting wardrobe as garments only, then discovering alterations and maintenance after the money's already allocated. By dress week, there's no budget left for the repairs the run actually needs, so it comes out of someone's pocket or the show looks ragged. Build the alteration and maintenance line first. It's the bigger number. Now, the part schools never budget for. Wardrobe is not a thing you buy. It's a department you run. And in a real show, the people cost more than the cloth. Three roles make it work, and the one schools forget is the one that prevents disasters on the night. The wardrobe supervisor, or coordinator, owns the whole department. The costume plot, the sourcing decisions, the alteration schedule, the budget, the parent team. This is the role that turns a pile of clothes into a costume show. The parent volunteers are the sewing team, the fitting hands, the laundry and repair crew. Free labor, but finite labor. Treat them as a managed team with a schedule. not a magic supply, and the dresser is backstage during the show, responsible for getting performers into and out of costume on time. That's the role schools most often skip, and it's the one that protects every quick change. And a quick change is a costume change that has to happen in the seconds a performer is off stage. Sometimes under a minute, in the dark, in the wings. It does not happen by luck, it's choreographed. The next costume is preset, laid out in the wings in exact order, fastenings undone, ready to step into. The dresser stages it before the show, not in the moment. It's rehearsed and practiced like any other piece of staging until it's reliable. And it's costed when it fails. Get a quick change wrong and the performer misses an entrance. A hole in the show the audience sees. The cost of a botched quick change isn't dollars, it's a broken scene. Which is why the dresser role and the preset discipline matter more than they look. So count who's actually on the payroll for wardrobe, because it's a big line. Dressers, for a start, and you need several. A handful of quick changes for the principals, plus a full ensemble change, can mean 3, 4, 5, 6, even 7 dressers stationed side stage on a show night. Each assigned to specific performers and changes. That's not padding. It's the only way the changes land. On a big number, the wings are as busy as the stage. Then hair and makeup crew. A cast of 30 doesn't do its own stage makeup and wigs to a standard. You need a hair and makeup team in the dressing rooms before every show, called 2 or more hours before curtain. And that's a paid call on every performance. And then there's the daytime maintenance shift, the invisible one. Between shows, someone has to wash it all, dry it, repair the splits and lost buttons, and turn the whole wardrobe around for the next night. That's a maintenance shift during the day that nobody sees and everybody forgets to cost, and across a week's run it's real hours, every day. So when you budget wardrobe, budget the team. Dresses per show, hair and makeup per show, and a daily maintenance and laundry shift. It's routinely the largest part of the wardrobe spend, and it's the part that's invisible right up until the night it isn't there. A chorus in matching costumes is really a sizing problem in disguise. 20 matching waistcoats means 20 different sizes of the same waistcoat. And the moment you stop tracking which is which, you're rebuying and re-altering things you already have. Two disciplines keep it sane. First, measure the whole cast properly, once. A measurement sheet per performer. Chest, waist, hip, inseam, head for hats. That feeds every sourcing and alteration decision. Guessing sizes is how you end up with a hire that doesn't fit and a damage risk pinning job. Second, catalogue what the school already owns. This is the single biggest year-on-year saving in wardrobe, and almost nobody does it. After every show, the costumes the school made or bought go into stock. But if there's no catalogue, next year's team can't find them, doesn't know they exist, and rehires or remakes the exact thing already sitting in a cupboard. A school that catalogues its stock, with the garment, a photo, and crucially the sizes and how many, stops paying for the same costumes twice. And that's the difference between wardrobe as a recurring fresh spend and wardrobe as a growing asset. Every show that catalogues its made and bought stock makes the next show cheaper. Stage makeup is a small line that misbehaves in two ways. People underspec it because street makeup vanishes under stage lighting, and they underbudget the consumables because it runs out mid-run and there's no money to replace it. Three categories cover most school needs: base and corrective, so foundation and base to stop faces washing out under bright stage lighting. That's the bulk of what a cast needs. Character and aging, so shading, highlight, stipple and liner to age a teenager into a grandparent or sharpen a villain. Skill dependent but cheap in materials. And special effects, so bruises, blood, wounds, scars. A small kit of cream colours, fake blood, and a bit of latex covers most school show needs. But everything else in makeup is taste. Hygiene is the rule that actually matters, and it's non-negotiable, because shared makeup spreads eye and skin infections through a cast in days. So, the rules. Never share eye or lip products. Mascara, eyeliner, lip products are per person, full stop. Conjunctivitis and cold sores travel on shared applicators. Use individual kits or per-person allocation, so each performer has their own eye and lip items. Shared base products get applied with disposable or sanitized applicators. never fingers into the pot. Keep brushes clean, washed, and sanitized between uses and between people. A brush kit and brush cleaner is a real budget line, not an optional extra. And do allergy checks. Ask the cast about sensitivities and latex allergies before show week, not during it. Latex effects and some adhesives are common triggers. And the consumables run out, so budget to replenish. Foundation, wipes, cotton buds, setting spray, fake blood, brush cleaner, disposable applicators. These are consumed, not kept. A kit spec'd for the show is gone by the second weekend. So budget makeup as a base kit plus a replenishment line for the run, and you won't be doing a chemist run on closing night. One more line Tier 1A already warned you about, wigs. They're their own small cost center and a maintenance commitment, not a one-off purchase. Period and character shows often need them, and a decent stage wig is neither cheap nor low effort. Hire over buy for most school needs. A hired character wig runs roughly $40 to $120 per show. A good styled human hair wig to buy is hundreds, and the maintenance is real. Wigs need fitting, a wig cap, pinning, styling, and resetting across a run. Build the time in. This is where the wig hire line from your Tier 1A production budget comes from, and why it's a line, not a footnote. Costume houses quote the same way every other vendor does. A fair core, with padded service lines bolted on that a school with a parent team and an op shop run simply does not need. So here's a realistic quote for hiring a period musical's costumes, line by line, with the call on each. 32 performers, a 6-show season. The quote arrives at $8,940. Here's where it actually sits. 32 ensemble and principal costumes, period hire for the season, $4,480. That's fair. The genuine cost of the garments, roughly $140 average across ensemble and principals. Shipping and freight both ways, $360. Also fair? That's the real cost of getting the costumes to a regional school and back. Then a costume coordination fee, $1,200. That's padded. This is your wardrobe supervisor's job, and you have a parent coordinator running the plot and the fittings. Decline it. An alterations package, $1,400. Also padded. Most hire houses forbid permanent alteration anyway, and pinning and tacking is done by your sewing team in-house at no cash cost. Decline it and do it yourself. A mandatory cleaning fee across all items, $600. Partly fair. Return clean is legitimate, but a flat $600 across 32 items is heavy. Negotiate it down to the actual dry clean cost on the pieces that need it, and a damage waiver, non-refundable, across all hires, $900. That's padded. A blanket non-refundable waiver on top of the hire is an insurance upsell. Only genuine itemized damage is fairly chargeable. Decline the blanket waiver, accept liability for actual damage you cause. So the quoted total is $8,940. The defensible total is the garments at $4,480, plus the freight at $360, plus about $200 for actual return cleaning, around $5,040. Coordination and alterations done by your own team. The blanket damage waiver declined. Cleaning paid at actual cost. That's a saving of $3,900, about 44%. And without changing a single costume on stage, the garments are identical. What you stripped out was service the school already provides for itself and an insurance line dressed up as mandatory. The one sentence pushback. We have our own wardrobe team for coordination and alterations, so we'll take the hire and the freight, pay actual return cleaning, and accept liability for any genuine damage. Please requote on that basis. As with every department, the costume house decides in the first conversation whether you're a soft touch or someone who knows the game. So here are six lines that tell a wardrobe coordinator you're the latter. 1. What are your alteration rights? Can we hem and take in, or is it pin and tack only? That shows you know hires usually forbid permanent alteration and that it changes your plan. 2. We have our own wardrobe team, so we won't need the coordination or alterations package. That declines the padding before it's even offered. 3. What's the return condition, and is cleaning charged at actual cost or a flat fee? That flushes out the cleaning fee padding. 4. We'll photograph everything on arrival so we're clear on pre-existing condition. That signals you won't wear charges for damage you didn't cause. 5. Most of this show is contemporary, so we're op-shopping the chorus and hiring only the period principals. That shows you size the root to the garment. 6. What's your damage policy on actual itemized damage versus a blanket waiver? That separates fair liability from an insurance upsell. The whole stop paying for the same costumes twice. Discipline needs a home, and that home is easy inventory. And this is a genuine fit, not a stretch. Wardrobe stock is exactly the kind of physical asset inventory is built to track. So catalogue every costume the school owns, the pieces you made and bought, each one with a photo, so next year's team can see at a glance what's already in the cupboard instead of rehiring it. Record sizes and multiples too. Easy inventory lets you log quantity by variant against an item. 4 size 6, 10 size 10, 6 size 12 of the matching chorus waistcoat. So you know not just that you own it, but whether you own enough in the right sizes for next year's cast, and then you reuse instead of respend. A catalogued stock turns wardrobe from a recurring fresh spend into a growing asset. Every show adds to it, and every future show shops it first. And for the makeup and wardrobe consumables, the foundation, the brush cleaner, the hem tape, the dress shields, the fake blood, the ESC store packages them for school purchasing, with an invoice plus a purchase order field, the same way it does the technical consumables, so you replenish mid-run in one order instead of a chemist and craft shop scavenger hunt. Open exercise. 1B6.1. Take a show you're running, or the sample in the resource pack. Go through the cast list and assign every costume to a route, make, hire, or buy with a one-line reason. Then cost it. Garment cost plus a realistic alterations and maintenance line for each route. Compare your total to a hire everything baseline, then exercise 6.2, build a makeup and hygiene plan, and a consumables budget. List the makeup jobs the script needs, write the hygiene protocol, and build a two-part budget. Base kit plus a replenishment line sized to the length of the run, save both to your portfolio. And that's Tier 1B complete. With wardrobe and makeup, you've now got the BS detector across every department a school production hires out. Lighting, sound, stage management, and the cost center everyone forgets. Catalog what you own, route every garment deliberately, and budget the alterations before the garment. Tier 1B is completion and portfolio based, so you complete it by working through all 6 modules and submitting each module's exercise artifacts to your portfolio. Combined with Tier 1A, that's 18 hours of CPD across all 12 modules and your full bachelor of being unbullshittable by your production team.